If you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to be reading out of the Message version. So if you've not got the Message Bible, there might not be any point. Okay? But Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to read verses 1 through to 19. And it says this. It's a story about Abraham, okay? And it says this, after all Abraham had been through, God tested Abraham, and God said, "Abraham, yes," answered Abraham, "I'm listening." He said, "Take your dear son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll point out to you." Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey. He took two of his young servants and his son Isaac. He had split wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had directed him to. On the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham told his two young servants, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and gave it to Isaac, his son. He carried the flint and the knife, and the two of them went off together. Isaac said to Abraham, his father, "Father, yes, my son, we have flint and wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "Son, God will see to it that there's a sheep for the burnt offering." And they kept on walking together. They arrived at the place to which God had directed him, and Abraham built an altar. He laid out the wood. Then he tied up Isaac and laid him on the wood. Abraham reached out and took the knife to kill his son. Just then an angel of God called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes, I'm listening, Lord." "Don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't touch him. Now I know how fearlessly you fear God. You didn't hesitate to place your son, your dear son, on the altar." Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. Abraham took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. God sees to it. That's where we get the saying, "On the mountain of the Lord," it says in the Message, "he sees to it," or in the NIV, "the Lord will provide." The angel of the Lord spoke from heaven a second time to Abraham, "I swear God's sure word, because you have gone through with this and have not refused to give me your son, your dear, dear son, I will bless you. Oh, how I'll bless you. And I'll make sure that your children flourish like stars in the sky, like sand on the beaches. And your descendants will defeat their enemies. All the nations of the earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you obeyed me." Then Abraham went back to his young servants. They got things together and they returned to Beersheba. And Abraham settled down in Beersheba. I'm sure that you will agree with me when you read that story that this is the biggest thing God could have asked of Abraham. Okay? God didn't come and say, "Give me a few hundred sheep." Okay? God says, "Give me the thing that I have given to you. Give me that thing that I have promised you and that I have said your descendants are going to come from." So Abraham went already knowing God and knowing the promises of God and knowing that descendants needed to come from Isaac because he was the promise of child. So Abraham went knowing that he was bringing the boy back, even if God had to raise him from the dead. Okay? Doesn't mean that what he did wasn't hard, because it was. But he had a faith, and the Bible says that after all this, I love it when chapters start like that, after all this, God tested Abraham. Sometimes we can go through life and think, "God, I've been through enough now." And God comes again and he brings challenge and he brings inspiration to do something that seems beyond what we can do. Anyone been there? Okay, I know I have. So what I want to do is just to go through a few of the verses in Genesis 22 and just pick some things out for us this morning in this whole area of giving, in this whole area of what we bring to God. The first thing I want to say in verse 2, it says this. This is God speaking to Abraham. "Take your son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll point out to you." Which tells me there were more than one mountain for him to go up. Okay? There wasn't just one mountain. You know, it would be very obvious in Lincolnshire if there was a mountain, because there are no others. Okay? And we would all know if God said, "Go up the mountain," we'd be like, "We know which one, Lord, because there's only one." Okay? But what God said to me says, "Go up the one I'm going to show you." And this is the thing, okay, that God pointed out the right mountain. Why? Because he knew where the provision was going to come from. So God already had up the right mountain, a ram, that was ready for Abraham and Isaac. God already had that. And so he said, go up the mountain, I will show you. And so the whole way along this journey, and James kind of reiterated it with his journey, the fact is that Abraham had to be listening to God. Because if he'd have gone up the wrong mountain, let's not even go there. Okay, if he'd have gone up the wrong mountain, it could have been disaster. Okay, so Abraham needed to be listening to God because God knew where the provision already was. Do you know, sometimes we have to do it like God tells us to do it. And not try to figure it all out on our own. Not try to figure it all out with our logistic thinking. Sometimes we just need to listen to God. And if you know, they often say the longer you've been a Christian, the easier that gets. I don't actually necessarily agree with that. Having been a Christian a long time, I go up wrong mountains all the time. Sometimes I pick the wrong mountain and I walk up it and I stubbornly go, I'm just going to keep going. And God's going, it's the wrong one. And I'm going, no. I've started, so I'm going to finish. I don't want to turn around and go back down and have to go up the other one. Okay, but the thing is, I want to say to us this morning that actually for each one of our lives, God's already got things mapped out for us. We've just got to listen to him and go up the mountain he tells us. Whatever the opposition, whatever it is we feel is against us, we've got to go up the mountain that God tells us to, because up that mountain is everything we're going to need. God's already put it there. He's already provided it. So the first thing is that God pointed out the right mountain and Abraham listened and walked up it. The second thing, if you look in verses 3-5, I'll let you go back and read that again because we're kind of by the clock here. Okay, if you look at verses 3-5, what he was about to do was an act of worship. I struggle with that when I read that, if I'm honest. In sacrificing his son, what he was about to do was an act of worship. Do you know what our giving is? Our worship. Do you know that? When we bring our gifts into the house of God, our giving is our worship. And actually in Genesis 22, this is the first time that the use of the word worship is used in reference to God in the Bible. Okay, and the word that is used is the word shakah in Hebrew, which means to bow down. When you bow down to something or someone, you surrender. You give up your rights. You choose to bow rather than be in control. Do you know what? When it comes to our giving, when it comes to the things that we have, when it comes to the will of God over our life, there comes a point, I think, in all of our lives where we go, God, I just choose to bow. I just choose to surrender, whether it's our future. And we're going, God, where are we going next? God, I choose to bow down. I choose to do it your way rather than my way. And actually, when I do that, it's an act of worship. God, where it comes to this money that you give me every month, God, I choose to bow down before you. And I choose to bring in an act of worship as I give. You know, I think sometimes we can just get it into the thing that we just throw something in a bucket. You know what? It's not. It's an act of worship. And when Abraham was going up, he says to his servants, who he leaves behind, he said, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going over there to worship. Then we will come back to you. We're going over to worship. Abraham knew exactly what they were going over to do. Yet he called it worship. We're going over to bow down before God. We're going over in our hearts and in our lives to bow down before God. And what we're going to do is going to be an act of worship. When we give, we say, God, I'm magnifying you rather than anything else in my life. I'm choosing to bow to you rather than anything else in my life. The third thing is this. It says in verse 6, and I've read this portion of scripture hundreds of times, but it says in the Message version that Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, gave it to Isaac, his son, to carry. He carried the flint and the knife. And then it says this, the two of them went off together. The two of them went off together. Do you know what? Sometimes giving seems like a mountain that we need to climb. Sometimes working out the will of God in our lives seems like a mountain we need to climb. And I love this phrase, the two of them went off together. Abraham knew what was going to happen. Isaac wasn't so sure, I don't think. But the two of them went off, and they went off together. I can remember hearing a story a few years ago of two of my friends who planted a church. And one of them was the senior guy. The other one was the youth pastor. And they went off and together, and they planted this church. Both had families. And you know, it was going really, really well. But this is the youth pastor friend of mine would kind of give this account and this story. And he said this: it would come to the time in the month when they were going to be paid. He says, and I went to my pastor because he's got a young family. He says, and we would kneel on the floor in his office and I'd ask God for baked beans. Maybe you would ask God for steak. I don't know. But he said, when your pastor will get on the floor with you and kneel there with you and pray for the most menial things that you need in your kitchen cupboard, that's the two of them going off together. That's the two of them deciding, we're going to go off to this thing together. And I can remember sitting there, I knew them both really well, just thinking, that is absolutely incredible. You see, sometimes it feels like there's a mountain to climb, but let me tell you this, it will always be worth it. I don't know if you know any mountain climbers. I don't know that many, but I know people that climb up big hills, right? And then that I would call a mountain and they would call a hill. And then they take photos, put it on Facebook and go, it was all worth it because look at the view. Do you know what? What you see when you get up the mountain that God has asked you to climb will be breathtaking. What you see as you know, as James looks back, and he's gone up a few mountains over the last few years, and as he looks back, I know that I can say this because I know him quite well. He'll look back and go, God, it's breathtaking. It wasn't breathtaking when we were walking up the mountain. That was blooming hard work. But when we got to the top, when you did what you needed to do, God, it's breathtaking. And when you look back over things and when we bring our lives to God and when we bring everything about ourselves to God and we allow God to climb up that mountain with us and we go off together with him and maybe together with a few other people. Matt and I have climbed this mountain of finance sometimes and we've done it together. And we look back and we go, God, it's breathtaking. When we sat down to buy a house, when we were engaged and we, you know, we put all the things down, the 31-point list that we then handed on to Liz and Paul when they were looking for their house so they could go with this list to the houses. Honestly, we used to take an hour and a half to view a house. And we put all these things down on a list, all the must-haves. And you know what? Then we put the dreams down as well. And I look back, we got the dreams as well as the must-haves because God's breathtaking. And this morning, when you choose to go up that mountain with someone, with God, with another person, you will look back and you will realize just how breathtaking it is when you find the provision of heaven again up the mountain that you are climbing. Maybe this morning, God's going to come and ask you to get your climbing gear on again. Maybe it's been a while since you've gone up one of these mountains and God's going to go, do you know what? Up that mountain somewhere is going to be your provision, is going to be that thing that you need. Fourthly, it says this in verse 14, it says, on the mountain of the Lord, it was provided. The Bible tells us that Moses, we're not on him this morning, we're on Abraham. Okay. The Bible tells us that it's Old Testament, isn't it? They kind of all mingle into one sometimes. And that's someone who preaches a lot. So you're all okay if you get them wrong as well. All right. I did that just as a bit of an exercise for you. Anyway. So Abraham, when he kind of gets to this point and God has provided the ram and they give the ram as a burnt offering, he says, and this mountain will be called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord has provided. Abraham at this moment chose to focus on, not to focus on the journey, but on the provision. I think a lot of the time as I spend time talking to people, especially about this whole area of giving, which can be quite a difficult topic, as I spend time talking to people, they say, I did this before and this is what happened. Do you know what? Sometimes we've got to focus in on what God did rather than on the how hard the journey was to get there. And I love Abraham's faith here. I love the way that he says so often in our remembering, we focus on the hardship, not on the provision. You know, he could have called that mountain, trial mountain, pain mountain, testing mountain. But actually he chose to focus on what God did. And I'm sure in this room, there are stories upon stories upon stories of what God has done. But how many of us go to the hardship before the faithfulness of God? This morning, I want us to try and flip around a little bit those things that God has done for us. And rather than go to the hardship of climbing the mountain, why not look at the provision of a faithful God who goes, if you climb that mountain, I will be with you. I will provide for you. I will do everything that I need to do for you. But you've got to climb the mountain. God will not do that for you. You've got to get the climbing gear on and you've got to climb the mountain. How we view the last time we gave will affect how we give now. And maybe some of us have got to go, okay, God, I need to change my perspective a little bit. We need to shift it. I love what James said. You know, it's not always the checks through the door, but it is the, we're going to lower your mortgage or we're going to, I love it. It's just practical stuff. And a lot of the time we see that as just, you know, oh, fantastic. Okay, they can lower our mortgage. You know what? That's God's provision over your life. You know, that is totally God's provision over your life and over his life. So how we view the last time we have given will affect how we now give. And fifthly, look at this. I have nearly done it. I am so impressed with myself. Okay, fifthly, verse 19 says this. Then Abraham went back to his young servants. They got things together and returned to Beersheba. Abraham settled down in Beersheba. Do you know what? There is a settling in our spirits when we know we have given what God requires. Abraham, before that, he wandered. God told him earlier on in Genesis, pack up all your stuff, Abraham, and go to the land that I'm giving you. So he packed up his stuff and he wandered for years and years. And when he came back down from this mountain, after obeying God and giving God everything, okay, that God had required of him, it says this in verse 19, then he settled down in Beersheba. Do you know what I want to put to you this morning? Maybe one of the reasons that we struggle to settle. Math is a settler and I'm not, which is really weird because I've been here nearly 21 years and I never intended that to happen. I'm very glad it did. Let me just put that in there. But I never intended it because I am not a settler. I am not someone who just wants to stay in one place. But this is what I found, that actually when I'm obeying God, I feel very settled. When I'm not, I don't. And that's about anything in my life. When I'm obeying God, I feel very settled. But when I'm not, I don't. Abraham went from being a wanderer to being settled. So I want to bring the challenge to us this morning. And we're gonna close in a moment. While we're in local church, you know, there's a lot of things going around about, oh, you know, I'll go to this church one moment, this church the next. You know what? I think God calls us to settle in a local house and be discipled and, you know, and be loved and be cherished and be part of a family. God calls us to settle in a local house. I'm not saying that God never takes us away and does other things with us, because that happens. And we've seen people go from this house. You know, we prayed over our senior pastor a few years ago as he went to fulfill the call of God that was over the next season of his life. So I'm not saying that never happens, but I'm saying for a lot of us, actually, God calls us to settle in a local house. And as we settle in a local house, God asks things of us. In certain seasons of being in that house, he asks us to give of our time. He asks us to give of our talent. And he does ask us to give of our finance. And over the next month, I want us to be praying. We're going to be taking a gift offering on April the 23rd. And I want us to be praying about that. And we're going to be praying about that. But I want us to be praying about what we bring into that. I talked the other week about when we establish his house, he establishes our house. Talking about, you know, different people in the Old Testament, talking about King David. When he established God's house, God said to him, I will establish your house. And we're going to be taking offering simply to further what God is doing here. And some of that is going to be in kind of furthering the work on our church building, and other bits of it is going to be just furthering what God is doing in the local house. And so I want to ask you to be praying between now and then, because maybe it's time to go up the mountain again. Maybe it's time to go up this mountain of giving and take a step of faith, actually believing up the mountain there's going to be provision. We kind of had an insight on this because, you know, we kind of put the dates in the diary and stuff like that. And so we began to pray. And Matt and I have a bottom line of what we give in any day like this. And we looked at the bottom line and went, yep, that's going to be difficult. And then we started up the mountain. And so we started to cut back on a few things, and we started to take our kids on the journey with us. And, you know, because we're kids, you know, we're saving up, we're going on holiday. And then, you know, we've got this big thing at church that we're doing, and we want to give into that. And so we started taking them on the journey. So we're just going up the mountain again. We probably got about halfway up the mountain in deciding what we were going to give, and God absolutely blessed us and provided for us. Do you know what? Maybe it's just time for you to go up the mountain again. Maybe it's time to go up the mountain for the first time. Maybe it's time to give again. Maybe for some of you, an obedience to this will settle you in the home that God has placed you in. And so this morning, I'm not going to ask Richard to come up and, you know, have twinkly music, make us all feel good. Because actually, James said something in his interview that actually, when we give, it's actually a discipline. And, you know, we could try and manipulate that, because, like, Rich is really good when he comes up to play and stuff like that. It gives a great atmosphere. But actually, do you know what? It's a discipline of our life. So 23rd of April, we are looking forward to an absolutely amazing gift offering that is going to bless this house and that is going to bless what we're doing. You know, we're giving next year as we send a team out to Africa. We're giving as we, you know, do Neon all the time. We're giving as we go into do our schools ministry. We're giving as we do our youth ministry, as we do toddlers. We're giving all the time. And do you know what, church? As we're going up that mountain of giving, God is providing. We can tell you story after story of the last few years where God has provided over our church. And we have told you some of those things. We're coming again. We're going up the mountain again. The boots are on. The mountain gear is there. And we are going up the mountain as an act of worship. We're going up the mountain together. I want to ask you to join us as we go up the mountain. They say, I love that sentence, and they went off together. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a great walker, but I'd rather walk with other people and have my mind taken off what I'm doing than go on my own. Because A, I'd get lost, and B, it'd be quite boring. I'd end up talking to myself, which is never a good thing, is it? First sign of madness, is it? So I'm asking you, will you come up the mountain with us? Because we're going up again. Will you come up with us? Will you join us? And will you bring what you can bring? And let's go up this mountain again and believe that as we got the mountain together as a church, that God is going to provide for us. And you know what? We're not going to call the mountain the hard mountain or the trial mountain. We're going to call it, this is where God provided. And we're going to put pictures in this mountain as we go up in the spirit, going, and God provided here, and this is what God did there. And you know what? God brought people into our church, and these people got saved. And as we're going up this mountain, they're all flags to say what God has done. I did just mention flags in church. Okay, no one get any ideas. But as we're going up and we're pitching these things in, we're just declaring what God has done. And we're going up together, remembering his faithfulness rather than the hard stuff. Knowing that actually at the end of it, what we're going to get is not a settled house in a wrong way, a complacent house, because we don't want that, but a house that is established because of what we have decided to do together. So I'm asking you, 23rd of April, let's make sure we're here. Let's go up the mountain. Let's start praying now, and let's start getting ready. We're already starting to go up that mountain again. We're believing that God's going to provide. We're believing that God's going to do something amazing.